Listen to part of a lecture in an ecology class.
I'm sure a lot of you in this class have your own car. Think about the dashboard of your car. There are some special indicator lights there, warning indicators. If something is wrong with your car, those indicator lights will come on to warn you. Well, today we're going to talk about a similar kind of indicator in nature. These are bioindicators. A bioindicator is an organism that can warn us about harmful changes in our environment. The typical example of a bioindicator would be a miner's canary. Miners today don't use them, but anyway, it's a good example from history. I'm not sure how much you know about mining. You might have heard about recent mining accidents in the news. Obviously, this is a dangerous occupation. But other than mine collapses or explosions, another danger for miners is gas. I mean natural gas in the air that you can't see. Pockets of natural gas sometimes occur naturally in mine shafts. These pockets of gas are difficult to detect and can suffocate and kill miners if they do not notice them. You might not realize it, but natural gas doesn't actually have a smell. Or at least it doesn't smell like the stuff you put in your car at the gas station. So, when a miner is working in a cave where there is a lot of natural gas in the air, well, you can imagine it's not a good situation to be in. So miners used to take canaries into the mines with them. A canary is quite small, and these birds will pass out long before a human in a gas pocket. So, if the miner notices that the canary passes out, the miner knows there is danger, and that he has to get out of that part of the mine immediately. In this case, the canary is more sensitive to a problem in the environment, the mine in this case, than humans. Likewise, bioindicators tell us about potential problems in our environment because they are more sensitive to it than we are. Okay, quiz time. Can anyone think of another example of a bioindicator? Yes, Carol.
Those frogs that were deformed because of the pollution?
Good example. Frogs breathe through their skin. This means that they directly absorb everything in the water and air they live in, making them much more easily affected by pollution than humans are. When we notice a population of frogs with lots of deformities, such as extra legs, missing body parts, or malformed parts, we know that the area has probably been polluted, that the appropriate testing needs to be performed, and the necessary precautions need to be taken. And, as Carol mentioned, we've seen this happen right here in the United States. Okay, so we see that pollution hurts frogs, but what about people? Is there any evidence to suggest this kind of pollution causes problems for humans too? To answer this question, we need to take a look at human bioindicators. Who might be a human bioindicator? People who are more sensitive to the environment. In particular, children and unborn babies, or fetuses, are more sensitive to pollution than full-grown adults, so they can also tell us about our environment. We usually ignore bioindicators like frogs because, well, they're just frogs, aren't they? But when there are health problems in human communities, that sure catches our attention. Here's a good example. No doubt you guys are all too young to remember this, but when I was growing up, this was a big deal, and everybody knew about it. In 1978, there was a serious health problem in Love Canal, a suburban neighborhood in upstate New York. There was a high rate of cancer among the children of the area. Birth defects were increasing, and pregnant women were losing their babies. Because of the high rate of birth defects and pregnancy problems, people in the area began asking the government to find out why. There was actually a group of activists at the time who were using the slogan, "Our fetuses are our canaries." So, what was it about Love Canal that made it different from healthy communities? Well, as it turns out, from 1920 until 1953, the site was used as a chemical dump, a place where a company buries its chemical waste. The dump was later filled in with dirt before it was sold as regular real estate. Of course, chemicals in the ground get washed into groundwater supplies when it rains, and the groundwater eventually finds its way into local city water systems.
Number 7. What is the talk mainly about? Number 8. What effects on various bioindicators are mentioned in the lecture? Choose three answers. Number 9. Are these statements true about the student? For each statement, mark the correct box. Number 10. What does the professor imply about human bioindicators? Number 11. How did the chemicals get into the city's water supply in Love Canal? Number 18. Listen again to part of the lecture. Then answer the question.
Here's a good example. No doubt you guys are all too young to remember this, but when I was growing up, this was a big deal, and everybody knew about it.
Why does the professor say this?
No doubt you guys are all too young to remember this,